This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, I'll tell you what, if you guys missed the 6 o'clock hour of the show, well, don't worry, because I'm definitely going to, I got to share that conversation with our statewide audience, if not later this morning, definitely next week when I get back in to the studios here. Hey, 7 o'clock hour of the show, I'm live in Cutbank here at Glacier Electric Cooperative. We're going to have some great guests join us here locally in the 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock hours of the show. Plus, we're going to catch up with U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy. And I think a quick update from Governor Gianforte as well. The great David Noble with us here every Thursday in the 7 o'clock hour. David, how you doing? Great to have you on the show.
I'm doing fantastic, Aaron. I'm driving on Interstate 90, just passing through Big Timber. I've been listening to that 6 o'clock hour on AM 970 KBUL. A clear signal all the way, over an hour outside of Billings, still getting a clear signal. It's what a fantastic 6 o'clock hour. The beginning of that, talking about the RFK Jr. stuff, the pyramid stuff, that is such a big story. And you know what that reminds me of, Aaron? It reminds me of what they're doing on the pharmaceutical side, on the drug side, with some of the things the RFK Jr. and HHS has done with drug pricing and things like that. And you know, it's crazy because I always heard they're never going to change the food pyramid. Because there's too much money in big agriculture in terms of all the wheat farmers and soy farmers that have been, and especially the corn farmers that make the high fructose corn syrup, you know, that goes into a lot of these highly processed foods. That was always sort of the storyline was, hey, this is never going to change. There's too much money in high fructose corn syrup and processed sugars, and that's never going to change. And that's what people want to eat anyway. And so people sort of accepted that, hey, we have a corrupt food pyramid. People sort of accept that in the Obama administration, Biden administration, they never changed it. They never challenged the powers that be. And what it is it's Donald Trump, independently wealthy, worth $5 to $10 billion, and he doesn't care if the big money players in D.C. don't like what his HHS is doing, don't like what RFK Jr. is doing, don't like the slashing of drug prices, most favored nation. They don't like the food pyramid taking people away from the high fructose corn syrups and all the carbs and everything else. But you know what? Trump doesn't care, and RFK Jr. doesn't care. And it's amazing to see actual change like this happening in our lifetimes there. I honestly didn't think this could ever happen. It's that good.
Yeah, well, I can't wait. I know we're going to catch up with Brian Massard from Reminisce Angus when I'm back in the studios here getting his reaction. He's been pressing for this, you know, saturated fat deal and getting beef and meat higher up on the food pyramid for quite some time now. That is now finally happening. But I would also say for our great grain farmers out there as well, whole grains is highly stressed in these new dietary guidelines. Whole grains is at the top of that pyramid with beef and protein sources as well. So I definitely want to make sure that one is thrown in there. David, got to get your take on this developing situation in Minnesota. It sure looks like they want to see Minneapolis burning again. They want to see Minnesota burning again. The far left governor, the far left mayor, and the awful things they've been saying about our great men and women in federal law enforcement. It's like they want their own cities to burn to the ground with what they are doing in Minnesota right now. We'll get David Noble's take here right after this.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman.
Are you hearing that weather right now?
And some breaks of sun around the area today. We'll still see some isolated snow showers possible. Temperatures otherwise range from the low to mid 30s for highs in Bozeman to around 40 in the Billings area. For tonight, partly to mostly cloudy with a low near 20 in Bozeman, mid 20s in Billings. Now we'll see breaks of sun and some cloud cover Friday. Low 30s in Bozeman, 40 in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Paid for by...
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Story here in a few minutes. Plus, I know David Noble has a woke update of the week and so much more. David, where did you want to start first?
Well, I want to go back, Aaron, to the food pyramid thing. And there are going to be winners and losers, but I'm not talking about the wheat farmers and the corn farmers that are going to be the losers in this, because even under this food pyramid, which is basically reversed in terms of, it used to be they had bread at the base of the pyramid, and they're saying you're supposed to be eating bread and pasta. That should be most of your diet is bread and pasta. Now they've got it reversed, where it's supposed to be mostly meat and vegetables. So clearly there's going to be some winners and losers, but you're right, and they still have whole grains and corn and wheat products and stuff on there. It's the highly processed stuff. And it's the big food manufacturers that I'm talking about that used to be the big money players in D.C. It's all the companies that make all of that highly processed junk. I mean, you go into the grocery store, it's 80% highly processed junk. And I love the Trump administration referring to that stuff as food-like substances. It's barely even food. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the wheat farmers, the corn farmers going to lose out. There's that French bakery in Billings that does fantastic bread, and it's the most basic ingredients, not a single preservative. You know, it's got four ingredients and it's really good bread. And that's the type of stuff that people are talking about. And I think the whole grain growers and things like that are going to be just fine, but it's going to be the processed food manufacturers that are going to be hurt from this. And frankly, I do think that there's a bright future for the beef ranchers, especially in Montana, because as people start to switch, hey, maybe I shouldn't be eating a bunch of highly processed carbs and bread and pasta as like my main substance. I'm going to try to eat more beef. That's going to help out our beef ranchers.
Well, it's like when we've talked with Dr. Dale Williams from Billings Last Diet. You know, people think, oh, I'm getting protein. This is healthy for me with lunch meat. And no, lunch meat is one of the, you know, some. I know there's not all lunch meats are the same, but he's like, no, lunch meats are one of the worst things you can have. They're loaded with water. They're loaded with sugar. They're loaded with, he's like, and so, yeah, instead, people might say, no, I'm going to get actual beef, actual meat. And they know that that's what's healthier for them. And that's what this is going to do. Yeah. And they're stressing whole grains, et cetera. You're exactly right. And you make a good point, too, where you've got to separate out big food from your farmers, just like our ranchers. They get it because you've got to talk about when you separate out the big meat packers, which are, you know, some are foreign owned, you know, compared to your ranchers, especially during COVID-19, our ranchers were out there saying, wait a minute, why is the price of beef one thing in the grocery store, but yet our price for cattle is a totally different story? And so I think that's the distinction that you're making very well there.
Yeah, so quick update. Last night I was at the Yellowstone County Republican Party informational meeting. We had Ed Walker there, finance chair for the Montana Republican Party. He gave a speech. They're doing a big fundraiser tonight in Billings. They've got a whole statewide strategy, regional-based strategy to try to raise some funds for the Montana Republican Party from the grassroots to kind of change the funding base of the party and do some good things. Art Wittich, of course, is the new chairman. And so there's a lot of exciting things going on there with the state party. Of course, the Yellowstone County Republicans are gearing up. We've got, you know, Senator Tom McGilvray, Senator Barry Usher. We've got those guys are necessarily up, but they were there last night. We had a bunch of other legislators. We got the sheriff candidate, Kent O'Donnell was there. County Commissioner Mike Waters was there. He gave a pretty good little presentation. The Yellowstone County commissioners are going to be going to the voters here in November for a approximately $200 million bond to expand the jail. They gave an update last night. They had like 640 inmates in the Yellowstone County Detention Center, and its max capacity is like 400. And so that's dangerous for the guards and the sheriff's office, the deputies, and everybody else involved. And it's just a bad situation. And so, you know, but boy, is it tough to swallow another property tax increase. But you know what? Jail paying for a jail expansion, that's one of the actual legitimate main functions of government. And it's like, look, I don't want to pay taxes, you know, pay a bunch of taxes to pay for, you know, fraudulent transactions to Somalis in Minnesota consented back to terrorists in Somalia. I don't want to pay taxes for that. But you know what? I don't mind paying taxes to pay for the jail, although it sort of raises the question, you know, what the heck else What the heck else is going on with the state prison system? And we got an update on what's going on with the state men's prison and women's prison. And there's a lot there, though. So, yeah.
Well, that's great to hear. Yeah, I think I saw Lana Tibbetts had shared info about that fundraiser for the Montana GOP. Very cool to see the grassroots getting organized, getting going right now, because we can't take these midterm elections for granted. We got to get into the fight. So that's great. Very
well,
excited.
And Aaron, the big what's the most important one this year? Judge Dan Wilson. Let's go. Judge Dan Wilson, he's going to be up in 2026, or he's run for a seat on the Supreme Court, the Montana Supreme Court 2026 this year.
Yep, I just saw Judge Dan Wilson at the Montana Chamber Business Days at the Capitol event yesterday, so he is hitting the circuit. Chief Justice Corey Swanson was the keynote speaker there as well yesterday. He's doing some good things, trying to clean up the Montana Supreme Court. But I also want to give a shout-out to the Gallatin County Republicans as well. I'll actually get to be the MC for their Lincoln-Reagan-Trump dinner. It's not till later on in May, but they're going to have Benny Johnson as their keynote speaker. That's going to be a ton of fun for that one as well. So lots of exciting things coming up here. And I think the Flathead County Republicans are doing their Lincoln, Reagan, Trump coming up on like February 13th. So sometimes they've had theirs in the fall, but theirs is coming up here real fast. So I haven't heard about the speaker lineup or anything for that yet. But all right, more to follow with the great David Noble joining us here on Montana Talks. He's driving on I-90 towards Bozeman right now. So if we lose him around Springdale with the cell coverage, now the cell coverage might be better now, but if we lose him, he'll just call in right back. We'll be back right after this.
Man, if you guys missed Tuesday's Montana Talks, we were live from the Montana Chamber's Business Days at the Capitol event. We also had Senator Steve Daines join us from the U.S. Capitol in Washington. Back in Helena, I caught up with a minister from the Alberta government in Canada. We had a gun business that operates in both Alberta and Montana. We had Democrat and Republican lawmakers, a bunch of great business guests, and much more. Check it out on the Montana Talks app. Just click the on-demand button.
This is where Montana Talks at with Lane Nordlund.
Farmer sentiment weakened slightly in December of last year as Purdue University CME Group Ag Economy Barometer Index dropped 3 points to a reading of 136. Weakness in the barometer was attributed to a modest decline in producers' long-term outlook as the Future Expectations Index fell to 140. 4 points lower than the previous month. The current conditions index was unchanged from November at 128. Angst about the prospects for U.S. soybean exports amid increasing competition from Brazil contributed to a slightly weaker outlook for the future among crop producers. Producers' expectations for their farms' financial performance changed little compared to November, as the financial performance index rose just 2 points to 94. The Farm Capital Investment Index also increased 2 points to 58 in December. Even with the slight rise, 60% of farmers said it was still a bad time to make large investments in their farms. In other news, USDA said nearly 14% of all U.S. households, or 18.3 million, were food insecure in 2024. Food insecure households are those with low or very low food security, had difficulty at some time during the year providing enough food for all their members because of a lack of resources, the department report says. I'm Lane Nordlund.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
A song by Lionel Richie or something like that. Ballerina Girl. Ballerina. I'm not going to sing it. I swear there was a song called Ballerina Girl by Lionel Richie. Anyway, David Noble, you might even be too young for that one. But when I think of this mayor of Minneapolis, Jacob Frey, this guy who was up there telling ICE to get the F out of Minnesota, that's just like, okay, settle down, Ballerina Girl.
Yeah, I mean, and it's ridiculous too to think that some mayor has the authority to tell federal law enforcement to not enforce federal law. It's just ridiculous. But you're right, Aaron. It's like they want their cities to suffer and to burn. And it's just bizarre that these left wing rioters that we know are funded by George Soros organizations and everything else. A lot of this stuff is AstroTurf. You look at that. This is all, a lot of this is all ginned up for literally partisan Democrat purposes. These like a lot of these people that are involved in this stuff, like they think, oh, I'm such a great person because I'm like fighting against ICE. It's like, no, you're literally a tool of the Democrat Party in a partisan operation to try to take down Trump, who's the greatest president of all of our lifetimes. And it's absurd. But it's also just crazy that they would actually defend the people that ICE is going after. It's like, here we have the federal government, the Trump administration, making our country safer by arresting and deporting a lot of these are mostly criminal, violent, illegal aliens. And they're opposed to that, Aaron. It's the same thing like being opposed to the Trump administration arresting Nicolas Maduro. It's like, how could you defend that guy? He's a cocaine trafficker. He's been doing this for a long time. He's been under indictment for a long time. And they're opposed to it. And it was a perfectly executed military operation. Oh my gosh, Aaron, I've been watching all the YouTube military accounts that are like former military guys who like sort of guess and speculate on sort of the real details and specifics of that operation to take out President Maduro have been just absolutely fascinating. It's hard to even wrap your mind around what happened. I do think this is going to go down as one of the greatest military operations in all of human history. And the Democrats are opposed to it, even though it was a perfect success. And so they're defending Maduro, just like they're defending these criminal illegal aliens that ICE is trying to arrest. Do you see the similarity there? Isn't that just bizarre?
Yeah, although I got to say, it's not surprising. These look, you remember back when, now we're going to go down another rabbit trail here, but I think this is an important point that you're making. Remember old Twitter, before Elon Musk made it X. Remember what we found when Elon Musk took over Twitter and made it X, and then he had all the documents. They were using, just like the federal government under Biden, et cetera, was abusing these positions of power in our government to interfere in the U.S. elections, to suppress the Hunter Biden laptop story, to use these social media platforms to suppress conservative content. They were helping the leftist candidate down in Brazil against the Trump of Brazil, Jair Bolsonaro, to take down a pro-American president of Brazil and install a leftist who is allowed Iranian ships to port, who has been working directly with the communist Chinese. The radical left in America has made it clear who they side with. So why would we be surprised that the radical left is attacking this incredible operation to take out this narco-terrorist socialist dictator in Venezuela? They are telling you exactly whose side they are on.
That's right. And I guess the confusing part is, why would they think that that's going to be a compelling argument for the American people? Why do they think that that's going to convince people to vote for Democrats? Can you make sense of that?
Yeah, exactly. I think because they think that the more chaos they cause in America, then they can just, well, there's chaos. We're going to blame it on Trump, not on Tim Walz, not on Jacob Fry. We're going to blame it on Trump. Oh, this is hilarious. Ryan Bussey joins the race. Ah! Oh, sorry. That's funny. I just saw this on Twitter. I was trying to pull up a tweet here. All right, David, I got to get your take on this here. Let's go back to Minnesota. Let's go back to Minnesota, Ryan Bussey. This is just comical. Let's go back to Minnesota. Our producer, Caden, has the audio for us. Listen to what Tim Walz had to say about... play the clip for us, Caden, if you don't mind.
And it's clear. Look, I don't know. I don't think any governor in history has had to fight a war against the federal government every single day. Well, I said this yesterday. We've never been at war with our federal government.
Wow. A war with the federal government. Tampon Tim, you're the Democrat governor of Minnesota. Actually, we do remember when Democrat governors were at war with our federal government, and it was to oppose black children going to school. Yeah, we remember, Tampon Tim.
Yeah, no, that's right. I mean, I haven't seen Democrats this mad since Republicans freed the slaves and Republicans ended segregation.
Well said. Hold that thought right there. We're going to get to the Fox News update here and then back to David Noble here in 60 seconds. Stand by. To it here with David Noble. David, oh, man. Oh, we got to stay on the serious news here for just a second. I went into X to go find something that I had posted earlier this morning. And of course, the Montana Politics hashtag shows up. The gun grabber Ryan Bussey, who lost the governor's race by 20 points, is joining the race to try to challenge Ryan Zinke for Congress in the Western District. I just started busting up laughing when I saw that news. That's just hilarious. Another one enters the clown car. We had this news that Bernie Sanders is endorsing this socialist Sam guy, but now Fussy Bussy's jumping in too. It's just hilarious.
Well, so whatever happened to the last candidate the Democrats ran multiple times against, Zinke, who lost multiple times? I'm drawing a blank on her name, but why isn't she running?
Why isn't she running? She'll probably jump in eventually as well.
Apparently there's some Democrat trying to challenge Troy Downing. There's some other Democrat trying to challenge Ryan Zinke, and I've been sort of seeing these names, and I'm just, who are these people? I've never heard of any of these people.
Yeah, nobody's, and maybe that's what Bussey's thinking is, well, people have heard of me. Yeah, they heard about how you were, they heard about you, which is why they voted against you the last time. Oh, it was so funny when we had him on the show, and all right, back to the big news though. Minnesota, Minneapolis.
Here's my take on it. If you don't mind,
go for it. Go for it. Yeah.
Okay. First of all, they always take these police shootings and they turn them into riots, and that's what they're obviously. We just heard at the 7:30 news break about protesters descending on Minneapolis, and it's because of this apparent shooting. And I haven't seen the whole video. I saw sort of a little clip of what happened. I couldn't really tell what happened. I don't really know what happened. But here's the deal, Aaron. These are ICE agents who are federal law enforcement, and they have guns, and they're doing a dangerous job trying to arrest Trende Aragua gang members and rapists and murderers. And if you're going to be a protester and you're going to try to get in the way between federal law enforcement with a gun and them trying to arrest a dangerous, violent, criminal, illegal alien, of course you're going to get injured or shot or something else. Like, what? How stupid of an idea is it to try to purposely interfere with law enforcement with a gun who's trying to arrest dangerous criminals? That sounds like a terrible idea. But apparently these Democrats think that's a wise idea, and that somehow it's, oh my gosh, I can't believe I got shot when I was doing that. I mean, what a ridiculous proposition.
Well, I watched the video. She was basically barricading a law enforcement vehicle, trying to put them in what looked like an ambush. You know, if you can try to put yourselves in their shoes. And then she gets into a fight, refuses to get out of the car when ordered to by the law enforcement officer standing next to her. And then she lunges forward with her vehicle, trying to run over the ICE agent in front of her. That's why the bullets are in the front windshield, is because she was driving right at him and actually physically hit him. J.D. Vance had a great summary. I'll share that next.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Back to it here with the great David Noble, joining us every Thursday in the 7 o'clock hour of the show. By the way, David, this is very exciting. You know, you've guest hosted the show so many times. You know, our friends in Missoula, typically they get to join us live on the radio in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. That's kind of our big statewide hour of the show. But man, every Thursday, you know, you've got a day job, you're an attorney. So luckily we get to have you with us here in the 7 o'clock hour of the show. But what that means is for the folks that are in with us only for the 9 o'clock hour, like Missoula used to be, they wouldn't get a chance to hear you every single week. Well, now we are live in Missoula starting at 7 a.m. all the way till 10 a.m. So that means our friends in Missoula now get to hear you every Thursday as well. So that's very exciting news, just launched this week.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. It's very exciting, very exciting. And getting great feedback from our listeners already. TheFederalist.com has this headline: Walls and Fry should be arrested for inciting 2020 2.0. So that's the response here. But yeah, David, I mentioned before the break, I watched the video. I watched multiple angles. I was watching, you know, some of the coverage last night as well. I thought Vice President J.D. Vance had a great response to all of this. That's why I went to X. I wanted to pull up J.D. Vance's response. He says, you can accept that this woman's death is a tragedy while acknowledging it is a tragedy of her own making. Do not illegally interfere in federal law enforcement operations and try to run over our officers with your car. It's really that simple. Look, we can all mourn the loss of life, but we can also mourn the fact that the outright disrespect for our law enforcement officers is, I'm trying to put my shoes in myself in the shoes of these law enforcement officers there. It looked like they were about to be ambushed. You've got somebody barricading your vehicle in, and you've got people all around you screaming and yelling. Yeah, I bet they felt like they were about to be ambushed. And then this woman drives her car right at you and actually hits you. That is deadly force. But obviously, you know, we'll wait and see everything coming in here. But no, they don't even care what the facts are. They want to rush to judgment. They want to burn down their own streets because they think it will help them politically.
Yeah, Aaron, my dad always makes a joke. Whenever he gets upset, he's like, I think I might go burn down my favorite corner store. It's like, who thinks like that? But Aaron, you're hitting on a point that your guest in the 6 a.m. hour hit on. And the big takeaway from that for me was when he said, today I wouldn't be a police officer. And, you know, this has been going on for, 5, 6 years now since 2020, where the Democrats have really come out with defund the police and this really hatred for law enforcement, favoring criminals and illegals over law-abiding Americans. All of this stuff from the Democrats has really been going on for years and years and years. But I remember 4 or 5 years ago thinking, who on earth would volunteer to be a police officer in Portland, Oregon? I mean, really, who, what's that type of, and so I've sort of assumed for years that they were going to have problems getting people to, I mean, who's going to want to put their life on the line every day to protect a society when that society shows zero respect for you, never gives you the benefit of the doubt, judges everything you do. And it's like, we should be respecting law enforcement and giving them the benefit of the doubt because they're put in dangerous situations and every day to protect us. And if you don't, then nobody's going to want to do that job anymore. And then we're in a really bad spot.
Yeah. For those of you that missed it, in the 6 o'clock hour, we had a great guest, Kay Webb Galbraith. He's a Marine Corps veteran. He was a BIA, a Bureau of Indian Affairs police officer as well. And more recently, he's the former water director for the Blackfeet Nation, for the Blackfeet Tribe, a Blackfeet tribal member. Great time catching up with him. But he was just talking about, you know, how especially in those big cities, you're just seeing the lack of respect for law enforcement. He said, you know, not here in Browning, not here in Cutbank, but in those bigger cities, my goodness. Checking in on the Montana Talks app, we got a message here from Jeff in Billings. Jeff says, I haven't seen the video, but what I read was the lady was reversing the car when the officer was shot. I would love to see the whole video, not just a portion. Jeff, where did you read that at? Jeff says he read that the lady was reversing the car when the officer, where did you read that at? Because I've watched the video and the car was not in reverse, which is why the car kept moving forward so quickly that it smashed up the front end of the car that it ran into about another 50 yards down the road. But yeah, it makes you wonder, where are people reading some of their news? Because so much of the liberal media is painting a false picture here, David.
Well, I'll tell you, it's probably the Billings Gazette where he read that.
Or the Daily Montana Democrat blog or something like that, yeah. Here's another message, if I can sneak it in, David. This came in last night from Evan in Belt. Here's one for you, Governor. Tim Walz is considering sending in the National Guard to potentially stop ICE from gathering up illegals, essentially putting them on Title 32, which would be state orders. But what would happen if Trump orders them to stand down and federalizes them and puts them on Title 10 orders, which is federal orders? Even more bizarre is that apparently the Walz would be trying to use his National Guard troops not to put down civil unrest, but to stop a federal agency from doing their job. In my opinion, this guy is whacked out of his mind, especially in light of the fact that he bailed on his guard unit when he was wearing the uniform. I think the man is corrupt and incompetent and needs to go. And David, that takes me to another post on X that I wanted to pull up here. This is from Nick Sorter. Tim Walz and Mayor Fry are attempting to spin this very obvious self-defense as a murder in order to spark riots. Why? Because burning down Minneapolis is the only way to get people to stop talking about their billions in fraud. Do not let them succeed.
Wow, that's a great point, and that's exactly what they're going to do. And the mainstream media, of course, is going to go right along with their with Walz's plan and Fry's plan, and they want to distract from it. And they, I don't know how like they're not arrested. They ought to be arrested for what they did, basically, in allowing that fraud to happen and taking money back and everything else. So great point by that post.
All right, let's see. What do you got for us for the woke update of the week, by the way, this week?
Okay, so the woke update of the week is, of course, it's got to come from Mom Dami in New York City, the new socialist communist mayor. But apparently he's got a position in his office called the Director of Tenant Rights, who's a full-blown communist. And has recently been quoted as saying that, you know, private property is a function of basically white supremacy, and that private property, the whole concept of private property, comes from like white people and white supremacy. And so the way that she wants to basically accomplish communism is by impoverishing the white middle class, and that was like the overall plan, was to impoverish the white middle class, because you impoverish the white middle class, you reduce white supremacy, and therefore you can get rid of private property. And so that's his current director for tenant rights or whatever, and he's standing by here even after these quotes came out. And she's saying, full blown, we want to. And I'm sitting here thinking, first of all, why do you have a director of tenant rights? It's like the actual private property rights belong to the landowner. If anybody deserves a representative in the mayor's office to protect their rights, it's the landowner. It's called private property rights for tenants' rights. Tenants don't have any rights. They have a right to live there for 1 month if they pay their rent, and that's it, period.
Ooh, this will help us go back to the Venezuela discussion as well, because I want to do another big picture thing here. But first, you remind me, I think it was a book by Hernando de Soto that I read about 25 years ago or so. Perk in Bozeman is what put this on my radar. He wrote a book looking at the wealth of nations, Latin America, Africa. You know the nations that were the wealthiest, that delivered the best for their people, were the nations that had private property rights. And we all know why private property rights are so important. I mean, think about it. You know, when you own your own piece of dirt, you know, just having your own lawn, whether it's a small yard or a big yard, there's something about owning your own piece of dirt. This, I did a Newsmax interview, and this topic came up the other day, and I was trying to make the point that, look, this is not just a New York City thing. The Democrat socialists here in Montana are pushing this same nonsense. And the point that I didn't get a chance to make that I wanted to make is, look at the American Prairie Reserve. What are they fundamentally working to do? They want to kick the ranchers off the land. They don't want you here. It's the same thing with this Commie Mom Dani push in New York City to kick the people off their properties there. That's what the Democrat socialists are doing right here in Montana.
Yeah, I mean, an American Prairie Reserve, its main goal is to basically take land out of productive private ownership and put it into a nonprofit, which, legally, you know, okay, a nonprofit owns it. That's, you consider that private because it's not owned by the government. But it's the concept of how that organization is sort of organized and run. It is totally communist in nature.
Right, and it's about undermining the American economy and the Western economy all across the board, which, of course, ranching and agriculture is huge, absolutely critical. All right, David Noble, already pushing up to another break. Stand by. Can't wait to hear what you have to say next. All right, David, I thought...
Update. John Harbaugh is the best coach I know, best coach I've ever seen. You may say, okay, well... I'm his brother, so I might be biased, but as I told him, whatever team he goes to is going to be formidable, and I just hope it's in the NFC.
The voice of Los Angeles Chargers head coach Jim Harbaugh, who said of his brother John, fired by the Ravens Tuesday, he'll be a head coach next year, will be playing against him in some sort of fashion. While John is being sought by several NFL teams, there are seven who currently need a new head coach. Jim Harbaugh preparing his AFC team for a playoff game against the Patriots in Foxborough Sunday. Todd Bowles will return to coach the Tampa Bay Buccaneers next season. Bowles led the Bucs to three straight NFC South titles before the team lost seven of its final eight games this season. And despite having finished with the same record as division champion Carolina, 8-9, still missed the playoffs. The Kansas City Chiefs said they are aware of domestic violence allegations made on social media Wednesday by the former girlfriend and mother of two children of Chiefs wide receiver Rashee Rice. Dakota Nicole shared images on Instagram of her body bruised and wounded. She did not mention Rashee Rice by name, but stated the person who inflicted abuse over a number of years is the father of her children. Rashee Rice is currently serving a five-year probation sentence from an incident in July of 2024 when he helped cause a multi-vehicle accident on a Dallas freeway. NBA trade, four-time All-Star guard Trae Young dealt from the only team he has played for, the Atlanta Hawks, to the Washington Wizards for C.J. McCollum and Corey Kispert. The reigning champion Thunder beat the Jazz in overtime, 129-125, 46 points for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Eastern Conference leading Detroit is 28-9 after a Pistons 108-93 win over the Bulls. I'm Jared Max.
Get more on the Fox Sports app and foxsports.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With cloudiness and some breaks of sun around the area today, we'll still see some isolated snow showers possible. Temperatures otherwise range from the low to mid-30s for highs in Bozeman to around 40 in the Billings area. For tonight, partly to mostly cloudy with a low near 20 in Bozeman, mid-20s in Billings. Then we'll see breaks of sun and some cloud cover Friday. Low 30s in Bozeman, 40 in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Hey, we told you we're going to be in Malta on Friday morning, taking you statewide from 9 to 10 a.m. with Montana Talks and an incredible story. But here's what we got coming up Thursday. I am in Cutbank right now. We got a great show, a great lineup coming for you. Montana Talks live from Glacier Electric Cooperative in Cutbank. We've got some great guests, but hey, you can come down and be our guest as well. Come down and see us.
Davis Dance.
January 16th through 18th. Don't miss the Big Sky Outdoor Expo
at the Billings Hotel and Convention Center.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, now I'm there. Sorry about that, Kate. And I unmuted my microphone on my mixer, but I didn't unmute it on the feed here. So that technical stuff, I tell you what. What was I saying here? Oh, yeah, the other thing for our friends in Missoula, you know, they used to only get the 9 o'clock hour of this show. I tell you what, you likely missed some very good conversations with our friend David Noble. David actually called in. He was on a vacation down in Argentina, right in the middle of the incredible Javier Milei re-election. And David called in. We were talking about Latin America, Central South America. And we talked about how, look, freedom is on the march in South America. And they're moving away from these leftist governments. David, since we talked with you back then, we had not only the Argentinian elections, we had the Chilean elections move to the right. We had Bolivia, as a friend of mine told me earlier in the week. And now the takedown of the narco-terror leftist dictator Nicolai Maduro. Love to get your big picture take on that.
Well, I think what we're seeing here, Aaron, is stuff that America has been working on for decades and decades, if not 50 years or more, with Cuba and things like that. But I think you are seeing a huge movement all across the Western Hemisphere towards conservative private property rights, smaller government, things like that. And it was so cool to be down in Argentina during the election. And we were out walking around, and you'd see people walking around and wearing all purple, which is Liberty Advances, the political party down there's colors. I am fascinated by this stuff. And this is really where the president has the most authority under the Constitution. The president really controls foreign policy and military affairs. As primary, one of the primary roles of the president under the Constitution. So the president does have a lot of power in this realm and foreign relations and things like that. And Donald Trump is just, you know, knocking it out of the park, and Marco Rubio is doing a great job. The thing that I've sort of found very interesting about listening to some of the press conferences, and I've listened to most of these press conferences, and Marco Rubio just did a little, you know, 10-minute presser the other day that I listened to and stuff. And The real interesting thing here is going to be who's next. Is it Cuba? Is Cuba next? And the great thing is when places like Venezuela move away from hard left communist dictators to anything else, basically, what that means is China and Russia are no longer getting all of that oil. China and Russia are no longer able to dock boats there and put ships there and things like that. So this is big worldwide geopolitical stuff, and the Trump administration is just doing an incredible job, just like they're doing on pharmaceuticals, just like they're doing on the new food pyramid, domestic policies, foreign policies. It's good all around.
Yeah. So I think we've already, without specifically calling it out, we've been talking about the Trump W of the week, I think, right there as well, huh?
That's right. Yeah. I was thinking earlier, it's like, yeah, the new food pyramid is the Trump W of the week. The Venezuela operation, the Trump W of the week. I mean, there's so many of them.
Yeah. And Democrat Senator John Fetterman, I mean, again, great job by him. He's like the only one on the left right now with a brain, it seems like. What did he share yesterday? I mean, again, he just doubled down again by saying, look, why can't folks celebrate this as good news? I mean, have you even heard squat out of the Democrats here in Montana? Has anybody had the guts or the decency to say, what an incredible operation? God bless the men and women of the United States military and our intelligence personnel as well.
No, I mean, you would expect if they were decent people, that's exactly what they would say. But it all comes down to partisan Democrat politics. They refuse to recognize the successes of the Trump administration solely for power reasons and partisan reasons. No, the only thing I've heard from Democrats, Aaron, is them criticizing this somehow by saying it was, I mean, they're trying to say it's illegal, even though actually when you, it's so funny because you'll see these Democrat commentators claim it's illegal. And then, you know, they'll bring on an actual legal expert and they'll be like, no, this actually, there was an arrest warrant. We had a court order. They basically authorized this. Like, what are you talking about, illegal?
Yeah, great point. Yeah, the legal analysis on this has been spot on too from people like Greg Jarrett on Fox News and others. David Noble, great to have you on the show as always. Thanks so much for being with us. By the way, we had Dr. Merdad Kia from UM on earlier in the week as well. It's on the podcast if you missed
Let's take a moment to breathe. Deep inhale. Extend your spine. Remain focused on what you're doing. If safe to do so, exhale slowly, leaning to one side. Inhale back to center. If safe to do so, exhale slowly to the opposite side. Find mental health resources at loveyourmindtoday.org. This message is brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ed Council.
Put your phone on D&D, that means that do not disturb when you're driving and when you're going from point A to B. I need you to stay safely, so always sing with me. So put your phone on D&D, that means that do not disturb when you're driving and when you're going from point A to B. I need you to stay safely, so always remember this beat.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.